You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is your home for New York Knicks basketball.
Goes it up top and with the slam.
Be here for all of it.
New York, we here.
WEPN-FM, New York.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Advertising, hearing that bark in the background to start ENN today. ENN is brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Listen, that's all part of K-Rod.
And let's say good evening to Don.
He has had a horseshoe hanging out of his butt all year.
Well, guys, it was quite a weekend. Quite a weekend. The 2021 divisional playoffs, the first postseason round in NFL history, with four games featuring a game-winning score on the final play. Road teams went 3-1 in the round. For the only time that has ever happened since the merger. Entering the Bills-Chiefs game in NFL playoff history, there are only four instances of a player throwing multiple go-ahead passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter or overtime of a playoff game. Both Allen and Mahomes accomplished this on Sunday. Pretty ridiculous. Speaking of which, let's go back to that Chiefs-Bills game since it was our big conversation of the day and hear Jim Nance's highlights from the end of that classic.
From the 19 in 17 seconds. Down the middle to the end zone, and there it is! Touchdown number 4 on the night for Davis.
Gonna throw it right away, right now, to someone in the middle.
Down the middle. Oh, my goodness! It's going to be a 48-yard attempt. I'm so nervous.
So are hundreds of thousands around the planet. The kick is good! It's going to overtime.
To the end zone. For the win!
He caught it! Ball game! Chiefs! To the championship game.
Good call.
He's good.
I'll tell you, you know what got lost on everything?
He was in his bag, Don, as the kids say. Nance was in the bag.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, being in your bag. He was
the,
in the bag.
What really got lost was the Bills' two-point conversion. What a play by Allen to keep it alive. And because otherwise they would have lost in regulation. They don't convert on that.
He's a quarterback, Don. You just don't want to tackle him. He's so gigantic. I think he puts a hurting on defensive players.
But I think they fell in love with it a little bit too much in the second half. It almost became like their game plan in a couple of possessions.
Well, I mean, just the running and escapability of both of those quarterbacks puts them at a different level.
Let's hear from Andy Reid on any advice for Mahomes before that game-tying drive.
Yeah, when it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it. He did that. He went, made everybody around him better, which he is great at. You know, he just does it effortlessly. When it gets tough, you know, he's going to be there battling. Players appreciate that.
Andy Reid's going to want to coach at least another 10 years. Why would you ever leave a job with this guy as your quarterback? And they've got him signed for, what, 15 years?
Yeah, he's there forever. It's a great point. Now, there was also a lot to get from this Bucks-Rams game, which almost turned out to be... Now, if Brady comes back and wins that game, instead of Stafford connecting with Kupp and then a field goal to end it at the end of regulation, if Brady comes back and wins it in dramatic fashion, do you think we're talking about it almost as much as we're talking about the Bills Chiefs?
Yeah, because it's Brady. Certainly not a clean game, and it wasn't all him bringing them back. It was the Rams allowing him to bring them back. But, you know, it's Brady with another unbelievable comeback. I mean, it's almost like he's like an alien.
But Peter made the point. There were times in that first half where you're like, oh, my God, they're going to get completely blown out. I mean, he just couldn't complete passes. It was just really tight. It was 17-3. And the Rams, and I was thinking about this in the back of my head, about how it could come back to haunt them. There were two separate occasions where the Rams could really put the Buccaneers away and then didn't do it. And then, of course, the fumble at the goal line was killer, because that's at least 3 points, or if not a touchdown, before the half, which then, you know, kind of took the starch out of the start of the second half and kind of opened the door. So, yeah, we'd be praising because it's Brady, but you couldn't ignore the fact the Rams left it wide open.
You know what I keep saying about how, you know, the football that we've seen in this area for the last decade doesn't even seem like the game that they play anymore. And you watch these four games, and a quarterback gets the ball with 39 seconds left in the half. No matter where he is, they're going for it. Nobody's running out the clock. And then the Giants did two quarterback sneaks in the second quarter.
Like no shot of even getting a first down, never mind that a lot of other quarterbacks would be thinking about scoring in that situation.
Amazing.
But what's crazy, Michael, and not to apologize for the Jets and Giants play, it speaks for itself. But a lot has changed in the last 10 years, too, because even like 10 years ago, I didn't see offense like this. It's been a quarterback's league for a while now. But, Michael, the Jets haven't been to the playoffs in 11 years. The Giants haven't won a playoff game since the Super Bowl, which is, you know, going on, which is a decade ago. Look at what's changed in the decade. Now, you leave a team 30 seconds, you know they're going to get the field goal. And the Giants couldn't score a point all season in the final 2 minutes of a half. A point.
Let's hear from Al Michaels. This was the end of the Rams, the aforementioned Rams-Bucks game. Let's hear what Al brought to the table.
Brady's going to hand it off. It's Fournette. He's going to take it to the end zone. Stafford, deep downfield. He's got Kupp again. He's at the 10. Stafford says, let's get down there. We got to clock it. We got to get the field goal. 30 yards to win the game. Matt Gape boots it through. And the Rams, by the hair of their skinny teeth team.
Okay. There's a lot.
He was so locked in this game and so engaged. And for all you young, aspiring broadcasters out there, what you never want to do is correct your partner on the air. Write him a note. It's bad form. It looks terrible. You try not to do that. And Collinsworth, I don't know if you remember this, Don. He lost track of where we were. And he said, well, at the worst, they're going to give the ball back to, is that the Brady game?
Yeah.
Yeah, with 2 minutes at worst. And he was wrong because it was second down and the clock was running. And they didn't have any timeouts left. So just the way that Al Michael, he knew that Collinsworth was wrong. He said, well, again, he just let that breathe for a second and said, since it's second down, and if they stop him, he'll get the ball back with about a minute 20 left. Just correct your partner without saying, no, you're wrong, because that your partner's going to hate your guts forever, and that's just not the thing to do. But now, was locked in.
But I'm going to say this, though. I mean, as you just went to praise him, I don't know if Andrew and Don will agree with me. But I don't know, man. I feel like both the call of the Cooper Kupp catch and the field goal were kind of underwhelming given the spot.
No, I thought it was great. I thought he was really locked in.
That Cooper Kupp call reminded me of the Eagles Super Bowl win. Don, do you think that was the right emphasis on that catch?
Well, that's debatable. But I don't know what he said after the field goal. What is the
skinny
by the
teeth,
hair
teeth?
Of my skinny teeth?
Yeah, he messed up. He kind of added skin of my
skin of my teeth and chinny chin chin.
Right.
He put them together.
It's a skinny teeth.
And you know, he's still going to get $20 million a year from Amazon. No. So how's it working out?
It's working out okay.
I understand. Listen, he's on the Mount Rushmore to me of football, or just announcers, period, between the Miracle on Ice and
he's got a lot.
Everything he's done with baseball, and then certainly football. He is on the Mount Rushmore. But that doesn't mean you can't be criticized. And I just think that you know, I think down the stretch of his career, it's been a little too nonchalant for my personal taste. And maybe that just comes with, hey, the guy's been there and done that so much that it's hard to really keep it new and fresh. But listen, I'm not going to take away his tremendous career, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a little critical of these spots.
No, but you have to understand, right?
Here we go.
Do you assume that Wilt Chamberlain was swooning over 19,848 the way he was numbers 3 to 100? So when you've seen it all, you know, I think he does a really solid broadcast.
No, of course.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen,
nobody's debating that.
It was solid. Now, that game was fascinating. The first two plays of the game, I think, Fournette ran for 2 11-yard first downs, and you're like, oh wow, great start for the Bucs, and then nothing for the rest of the first half offensively. And that's what really amazed me about Brady making it close at the end. And after the game, Brady had a little back and forth with the reporters about retirement.
Hey, Tom, how do you process going forward? I know a lot of people are wondering how you will contemplate whether you'll come back or not.
I haven't put a lot of thought to it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see where we're at.
Did you at least take a moment as you came off the field or at any time today to think about that, to think that this might be last time I'm out here?
No, I was thinking about winning. That's kind of my mentality always, to go out there and try to win, give my team the best chance to win.
What's the biggest factor for you, Tom? What would be the biggest factor for you in making that decision going forward?
Truthfully, guys, I'm thinking about this game, and I'm not thinking about any past 5 minutes from now.
Rex Ryan on whether or not Tom Brady should call it quits.
We all want to see our guys, our heroes, go out on top. He's going out on top if he leaves this way, in my opinion. The other thing, he's going out, if he left now, he's leaving with all his faculties. Like, this guy is healthy, and I think that's important.
That's such an excellent point, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, Michael. This is the one sport where if you hang around too long, there could be that hit. There could be that moment that affects you for the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, in football, that's certainly a factor, but I always laugh when people say, we want to make our heroes go out on top. Okay, so Willie Mays was, you know, falling down in the outfield in 73. Does anybody remember him as a bad player? They remember him as one of the all-time greats.
No, of course, and I don't think people harp on Jordan and Washington. And there's all those. We've talked about that before.
And Jordan Washington was better than people give him credit for.
No, absolutely, but he wasn't the Jordan we know. No, listen, I don't think as good as Brady is – you know, could that be just every time he goes out there, he's going to throw for 5,000 yards to be an MVP? And does he want to walk away from a season in which he throws a bunch of interceptions and it's a under 500 season and underwhelming? And he says, boy, I wish I could have walked away a year earlier. Or, God forbid, suffering that hit that affects him for the rest of his life.
I would say any other position, quarterbacks can't get touched. I mean, he got clipped a little bit on the chin when his lip was bloody. He acted like he got shot. So,
no,
I mean, he's not
used
to being hit.
But it doesn't even have to be a head injury. Well, somebody rolls your you know, you blow out your knee and you're walking with a limp for the rest of you. I'm just saying that this is the one sport where you have to kind of take into consideration that little that little fraction of an inch slower than you were the year before could be the difference between a completed touchdown pass and ending up on your back with a sore neck that affects you for years.
Brady was pressured 17 times on Sunday, his most in a game this season. On those plays, he was 4 of 14 passing, 3 sacks, and a fumble lost.
Very intuitive tweet from a K. Greco-Berg fan.
K. Greco-Berg, okay.
Right.
Not
he
K.
said,
Greco-Berg.
Oh, look, yeah. It's ENN. No dog barking. Only when Michael is speaking. Passive-aggressive? Peter's out for Michael. Watch your back.
Well, we'll see if that ages well, because there's still time.
Yeah, thank you, Don. It's 8 minutes left here. Anything could happen.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's continue on looking back at this Incredible weekend of playoff action. Hear from our friend Ian Eagle during game one of the weekend between the Bengals and the Titans.
Tannehill steps forward, popped up in the air, intercepted. Logan Wilson's got it. Burrow, deep drop, step and throw. Lays it out there for Jamar Chase. Harris, the snapper. Huber will hold it. 52-yard, sweeps the leg, McPherson. He's got it. Cincinnati wins.
God, he's so good.
He is so good. McPherson, the rookie kicker, nailing the winner. After the game, Joe Burrow said that McPherson, looking to a teammate as he was going out to kick, gave a little warm-up and said, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship. Walked out, knocked it in, and the Bengals are in the AFC Championship game. To me, guys, they're a nice team. They absolutely stand out in this crowd to me as being a notch down from the other three teams.
I would agree.
Yeah. I think so.
Peter, but I need you. Go ahead.
But that doesn't mean that this can't be a building block to something really special.
If we got a 1988 Super Bowl rematch between the Bengals and Niners, it would certainly be, to me, the two worst and more – well, not boring because Burrow's interesting, but certainly the two worst teams meeting in the Super Bowl.
But it might be the closest game because I think they're closer in talent. Those are the two worst teams.
It's hard to bet. I'm starting to get to the point. I don't want to tip my hand, but – it's hard for me to picture Kansas City not if they get to the Super Bowl.
You're tipping it.
But Chiefs-Rams can be fun. Ryan said that a few years ago, that Monday night game, it could, because both of these offenses are spectacular.
I think it was last year. That was incredible.
Peter, I need you to illuminate me on something.
Go ahead.
At the end of the game, they do the socially distant interview.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Then when it's over and they don't cut the camera off right away, the interviewer hugs the player. Well, I mean, what are we doing? It's all eyewash. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. You could see, I forget exactly, at least two of the interviewers hugged the player afterward.
Also,
all right, let's do this for the camera, but then after we'll make out.
On the camera. Right.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
By the way, I mean, I don't know what world in which people think you need to be that distant outside anyway. Like, I just don't get why they can't adapt. I understand the look they're trying to have, but, like, they're outside. They don't need to stand 7 feet away.
I don't think COVID can survive in zero-degree temperature in Green Bay.
I know.
He's frozen right there in the air.
Hard to imagine as well. Now, speaking of that Cincinnati game, you know who's in the secondary for the Bengals? Good old Eli Apple. You guys remember him?
Yeah, oh, sure.
And
Annie Apple's his mom.
Naturally, his way of celebrating this big moment, the biggest of his career, was going on social media and trying to decide which fan base he hates more between the Saints and the Giants. He said, in case you're wondering, it's a tie. But he tends to hate the Giants more because he hates the media more in New York.
Yeah, we're so bad. So it's funny that he hates the fan bases of his two former teams. So does that mean he'll hate every team that he gets let go from, I guess.
Well, also, are you mad at the New York media that they reported Landon Collins referring to you as a cancer? Or are you mad at Landon for saying
it? Or are you mad at your mom, who made it really difficult on you?
Yeah, media is so evil.
How did his mom, by her joining the media?
Oh, she was like, never stopped. Had an opinion on everything. Probably made him the laughing stock in that room.
That was so weird, by the way, that whole situation.
So, two of his failures with the Saints and the Giants, he blames it on the fans, but not on his play.
No. We didn't. I don't know if he blamed his failure, did he? He just said he hates them.
Yeah, well, why would you hate the fans?
Because they recognized that his play wasn't good?
There you go.
He also, with New Orleans, he actually dissed the whole city and called it dirty. So, let's go to Saturday night and hear from our friend Joe Buck on the Niners-Packers call.
And that's five sacks for this defense in each of the last three games, and it's blocked! Up into the air and spinning inside the 10, picked up and a touchdown! Debo gets it, Samuel breaks a couple of tackles, doing it all, first down inside the 30. Kick was down the middle and good! 49ers win it!
He's so good. People that rip him, they have no idea how good he is at what he does.
Yeah, he may be the best of the batch.
I'll tell you, did Fox lose a bet this year? God.
Well, game
didn't get any games. They lost the game last week because the CBS got the NFC game.
And I think that NBC had to have a game this week because they have the Super Bowl.
Let's hear
how odd was to hear Michaels and Collinsworth with the sun up?
It was a little weird.
Yeah. Let's hear from Matt LeFleur on the future of Aaron Rodgers.
We want him back here. I think we'd be crazy not to want him back here. He's going to be the two-time MVP. I mean, this guy does so much for our football team. Not only what you guys see on Sundays or every game day, but what he does in that locker room, how he leads. I know what he puts into this thing. And certainly I'm extremely disappointed in that we couldn't get over the hump for not only him, but for everybody in that locker room.
And Rodgers already starting to fuel the speculation as he sounds wishy-washy on where his future will be. So we'll keep our eye on that. Now, Don, before we wrap up today, did want to give you a minute to talk about the passing of an absolute Islanders legend this weekend.
Oh, Clark Gillies passed away suddenly at the age of 67 years old. I guess he had been sick, but nobody really knew. And it happened like just after the game on Friday, the Islander game, and it was announced, and just such a nice guy.
So beloved.
Such a really good player, Hall of Famer. But I got to know him a little bit, as nice a guy as he was, a great player, and it just was a gut punch because he's such a part of those four championships and such a part of Long Island, born in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and made himself a Long Islander and such a part of the community, and a lot of things that he did to help the community, and just a tremendous, tremendous loss.
On this day in history, in 2014, Carmelo Anthony's career high, 62 points over the Bobcats. And shout out to the Knicks who beat the Clippers yesterday at the Garden. That'll do it for ENN, brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
Also, rest in peace to my professor at Rampo College, why I wore the sweater today, Andre Perry, and to his family, my condolences.
Chris Kreider tomorrow on the show. Knicks and the Cavaliers right here on 98.7. Rangers and the Kings on 1050. See everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.